Hey, what's up, and hello. Happy holiday to you, if you're American. If not, happy Monday, or Lunes, or whatever culturally relevant replacement for Monday that you prefer. I'm not that worldly, I suppose. Anyway, we are Edgy Stances. Hello, and this is the Bloodshot Eyes and Sore Thumbs podcast. We like to shorten it down to best.
I agree and, with you. It is the best. Mm-hmm.
Indeed. The we that I speak of is consisting of me. I'm Jacob. Hello. And that is the eagle.
Hey, what's going on, everybody?
And the old crow, Brent.
How we doing?
How are you doing, dude?
I'm all right. A little tuckered out from this week, but yeah. I'm okay.
Plum tuckered, huh?
Yeah.
Plum tuckered at the old bubble wrap inflation silo. They got you working. That's working overtime.
Yeah, bit of overtime.
Yeah. They, recently, they've stopped letting us have so much of the oxygen tank in between sheets, so it's gotten a little, a little crazy up there.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
get a little dizzy from time to time.
It really isn't exciting at all, but I'll tell you what is. It is this week's episode where we are just kicking it.
Woo!
Hanging out.
Hanging out, man. We're just chatting some news, some new game releases, and mainly what we've been playing because I don't want to start anything new. We're getting geared up for Destiny 2 coming out here in a couple of days.
I've been training, taking short jogs in the morning, drinking 2 raw eggs every day. I am ready for Destiny.
No kale in there, you savage?
No, that's gross. Who are you talking to?
Well, I like kale in my smoothies, and yep, I've been doing push-ups nude at the edges of various cliffs.
Yeah,
you know,
just
top of my game, dude.
We sound like hitman contracts.
Yeah.
We do.
What am I getting myself into? I don't even know.
It's your destiny, bud. Mm. So, yeah, everybody knows it's coming out. We don't need to harp on about that too much here at the top. If you don't already know, it's coming out in a couple days. And get on it, man. Open that browser every now and then. I don't know. Speaking of opening that browser every now and then, we just have a couple little news news topics to go over. I just want to say real quick, here at Edgy Stances, we've decided to make our move on social media and start branch out a little bit more. And so if you want to get in on the conversation in the community, find us at Instagram. We are Edgy Stances all the way around. We really simplify that. If anybody ever had any problems finding us. And we've been starting to put up some... Instagram seems to be where, like, it's the most fun to participate so far just because, you know, we... meeting people pretty quick. We haven't started up the Facebook yet. I'm a little fancy about Facebook, boys. You can blame it on me.
Yeah. I'm not a fan.
Yeah, but in today's day and age, it might be a necessity for something like an entity like our show. So we're going to be looking at that. Just a place for people to meet us, meet each other, make new friends, because that's why we do this, right?
Yeah. Right. I mean, and if anyone out there, like, you know, you guys really want a Facebook page or you feel like, you know, you guys like to go on certain fan sites or Facebook pages, let us know. You know, I mean, send us email or DM us on Insta. Just let us know. Then I think it'll motivate us a little more.
Yeah, honestly. You know, like, I mean, our time is spent in various places with our jobs and all this. And, you know, whatever. That's a little bit more behind the curtain how the sausage is made stuff. Anyway, just holler at us. If you like Facebook, holler at us. If you don't like Facebook, holler at us. We'll be looking into that. As far as the rest of the world, we have a couple headlines to get at here. We have with the new month, we have the new rollover in the premium subscription services, the online services that both Sony and Microsoft offer. I got the PS4. Let me head this one up and just knock these out of the way. For Sony, is Infamous Second Son and Child of Light.
Mm. Cool. I played through Child of Light on Xbox. It was free with Games of Gold last year, and it was great.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that.
Couch chiller.
I'm totally.
Gonna get that. I'm going to get that terminology started.
Couch chiller. For that
no more indie game. Couch chiller.
Sounds like a new flavor of Capri Sun.
Yeah, dude. Flavor chiller.
Yeah, it does.
What do we have on Xbox,
Eagle? So, starting out the month is Forza 5, which was a launch title for the Xbox One. It's a very pretty game, fun to play. Also on there is Trials Fusion, rounding out the end of July, and the Xbox 360 backwards compatible Hydro Thunder.
Hydro Thunder. Man, that game was rad.
I've been playing it all morning. It is pretty incredible.
Little couch chiller.
Little couch chiller, yeah, for sure.
What's so rad about it?
You know, I don't know. It's just one of those great old school like arcade games. You know, it's all racing focused and, you know, shortcuts and, you know, secrets hidden around the maps, which is just a lot of fun to play around and, you know, unlock that stuff. So, and it's one of those really awesome 360 games that runs very well on the Xbox ones. You know, the graphics look great. You know,
oh, looks, good point.
You know, semi-modern. It doesn't look like it's almost 10 years old like it actually is. So,
yeah.
Yeah, and yeah. Then at the end of the month, you've also got Battlefield 3 and Oxenfree, which are going to be free later in the month.
Oxenfree, that's interesting.
Ollie Ollie.
Mm-hmm.
Never committed to. I'm pretty sure that floated around like $15, $20 for a little while.
Yeah.
I don't know. I always see it advertised on the marketplace, though.
Same here, and it's kind of critically acclaimed, too, you know, so people think of it pretty highly. So I'm excited to play it later this month.
Indeed, we shall see. Oh, yeah, and back on the Sony, I forgot to say, Just Cause 3 is still... oh, wait, I read that wrong. Just caught. I'm just playing. You know, that's such low-hanging fruit. I got to just leave it alone.
You're going to piss Rico off with that talk.
Yeah. A little bit more news is we like we had said a couple of episodes ago, want to be more productive with esports news and schedules. So I have a couple just little I got to get good at finding what's relevant out there too. So like we were talking about earlier with Facebook comments and things like that, mail help me help you by making sure I stay up to date on the stuff that the majority of our listeners prefer. This one I kind of just took a overall look at what's been happening this past week, and a Rainbow Six Siege tournament came to a close. USA got beat. Their team is Elevate.
Oh.
By a team by the name of Penta. They 2-0'd them.
Wow.
And, yeah, that happened on the 25th.
Siege is fun to watch. I've enjoyed watching some of the pros play that. It's so, like, tense. You know, like, you just see a little drone roll around the corner, and you're like, huh, what's that? And then, you know, C4 drops from the ceiling. Like, it's just... It's cool to watch the tactical scenarios play out in that game.
Yeah. I didn't get to see it in the final, but I saw some footage of the semis right before Penta got to that match. And the come-to-dinner tactic, as I've learned to call it, where you just set up a room and bait somebody in, and it's just the deadliest room alive.
Deadliest room alive.
Yeah, just come to dinner, man.
It happens.
But, yeah, good for them. The company that does the traveling tournaments, DreamHack, they were just in Malmo. I think that's Sweden. I really hope I wish I didn't talk too fast for my thoughts, because I hope I didn't mess that up. But I'm pretty sure that's in Sweden. I hope I said that right. They had a Counter-Strike Go tournament just finish up in the 3rd. That was yesterday.
Nice, nice.
Yeah, G2.
But yeah,
G2
you're right, Sports Sweden. One.
Sweden. Yeah. I don't even know if that's how you say it. Whatever. I really need to stop that.
You want to be racist, maybe, but yes.
Whoa, no! Dude! Wow!
I'm sorry.
You're just going to drop an R like that on me? Oh, my goodness. Okay.
You did go pretty G2 heavy
G2 Sports
on the
Swedish. One. They're very French, and I guess I should say that because apparently I'm labeled the R around here.
Mm. As long as you don't say, like, baguettes or anything, I think you're all right.
What, dude? You need to chill. You need to chill out. Okay, they won $100,000.
Damn.
And it's a double elimination tournament.
Wow.
Counter-Strike Go.
Get him.
A big, big boy this past week was Rocket League. And, man, I recall our esports episode that we did, and we were talking so much about how we wish it was easier to find out what was going on as shows by this new segment right now. I agree with that, too. Rocket League has... I don't know if it was this past update or the anniversary one, but they put in that little esports button on the initiation page.
Yeah.
You know, like, and or the menu page. Mm-hmm. And you just click on that, takes you right to it. I am so bad at Rocket League.
Really puts it into perspective real quick, doesn't it?
Man, these dudes, they're just chilling. They're just chilling. They don't drive anywhere. And then they just take off from one spot.
It's nuts.
Hit the ball. Easy money.
Easy money.
Yeah. So Gale Force Esports won the Universal Open Rocket League Grand Finals. And this is a big deal because this was NBC Sports Ventures' first dip into esports.
Correct. Really.
And yeah, they had some representative say that it, quote-unquote, exceeded expectations.
Nice.
And it's also kind of looking like NBC wants Rocket League.
It's very apparent, man. I mean, they put up the streams on Twitch. You know, they put up the actual games on some TV stations, you know, semi-late at night. But, you know, the great thing about gamers is, you know, up all night, up all day, you know, there's always something going on. But, yeah, it seems like NBC not only picked up Rocket League and gave it some coverage, it also seems like they put like some good money behind the production. They had some good announcers, you know, the camera work was good. They did, you know, a little bit of that kind of backstory with some of the players, you know, how they made it to the tournaments, which was, you know, it's really nice.
Mm-hmm.
So
Sorry, Brent.
Go ahead. The only thing I was going to say is like, do you guys feel like this is like, we've been battling against like pushback that like, I don't, maybe from disbelief that people want to watch this on like the televisions, and now like you know, these main channels are seeing what is happening on Twitch or Mixer, and they're like almost shooting themselves in the foot by not having it up there.
Well, I think one of the biggest problems that esports, you know, as a whole, speaking very generally, has faced up until, you know, fairly recently is that you know, the majority of the games are centered around violence. You know, a lot of them are shooting and, you know, just some type of violence and one player beating another player. And, you know, with the rise of games like Rocket League that are, you know, really sports-based or, you know, sports-based, in which, you know, Rocket League doesn't really have any violence, you know, to it. You can bump another car, but, you know, nothing crazy. You know, I think that gives it, you know, like a company the size of NBC who looks at it and goes, you know, what are the, you know, what are the pros and cons? And it doesn't have, you know, blood, gore, and violence on the con column. So,
right.
Yeah.
I'm sure it makes it a lot more attractive. And yeah, you know, I think people that have grown up with games are getting older to, you know, where, you know, people that were around in the NES and Super Nintendo era are now getting to be the purchasing power. So, you know, that
if I, and sorry to interrupt, if I can chime in here too, real quick. Sorry,
yeah,
I just wanted to, while we're on that train of thought, you know, I agree with you about the violence and all that, but this is a real hot take. Like, my opinion here too, it's also about where the money's at right now. So, like, who's buying the game is different from who's playing the game. So, you know, a lot of folks who are the money spenders right now, the folks in charge of holding these tournaments, of getting it in front of people's faces, they're from a different generation, but they're still the ones fitting the bill. And as we get further and further in our years, you know, we're going to see, you know, people a little bit younger that, like Eagle was saying, that have grown up with games. They're going to be the ones that take over these companies, start holding these tournaments, start their own companies of their own, et cetera. And then I honestly think that video game sports, you know, televised will be commonplace within 10 years.
Yeah.
And also, you know, another big point with, you know, games currently is, you know, they're becoming, I think the developers have realized that they need to be skill-based, right? You know, like a good player at Rocket League should be able to beat a lesser player at Rocket League every time. You know, there shouldn't be any, like, chance, you know, game stuff in the middle of this. You know, just like a basketball or football or baseball team, you know, the better team should win.
The same representative was quoted as saying that Rocket League and Psyonix feels like a good fit for NBC because of the simplicity of the game.
Right.
Yeah. And he said that it's soccer with an aerial aspect, quote unquote.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I guess like anyone that wasn't familiar with Rocket League, if they, you know, flip the channel and it's on, they're pretty much going to grasp it almost right away.
Yep, or check out episode, what is it, 12 of Bloodshot Eyes and Sore Thumbs podcast.
Yeah, we did a big old special about her.
No. I'm not sure. I just pulled 12 out of my butt. it's back. I said butt. Anyway, it's back there somewhere. The butt, I mean. Anyways, yeah, and that ties in a lot too, getting back to what you were saying about the violence and such. You know, I saw a headline while I was doing my research this week. Would Rocket League make a good Olympic sport? Or excuse me, would esports make it to the Olympics? And so far, it's not, you know, it's about the violence. You know?
Yeah, you know, they've been talking fairly recently about maybe putting the Olympic Games having some esports. I think in the 2024 Olympics or something like that. You know, the committee was, you know, at least taking in the idea, looking at some games, and, you know, looking at the top esports games, they share all one thing in common, and that is heavy doses of violence. And the Olympic Committee basically said, you know, hey, we're not going to do anything with violence. That's, esports are fine. We're not against that idea as long as it's skill-based, but we're not going to do violence. That's not something we do.
Right.
And so, yeah, you know, you're thinking in your head a little bit like, hey, Rocket
League?
Well,
I mean, you got to kind of back up. And I mean, in my opinion, think a little bit outside the box with it too. You know, as I was saying before, it's different folks kind of in charge at the moment. Look at what we watch in entertainment now, though. Football is people literally smashing the hell out of each other. You know, in the Olympics, we have fencing, which is based on sword fighting.
Yeah.
It's just cultural. To me, it's just generationally based cultural differences of opinion. You know, on what violence and what's violence and what's not, and what, you know, how things are interpreted. Fencing is literally poking each other with swords. And you've toned it down to make points off of it. So don't tell me something's too violent. You're just old. Anyway.
Yeah. And, you know, it's tough for, you know, someone to convey something that's in a game to somebody that hasn't played the game. You know, like, yeah, it looks like I'm using my character Roadhog in Overwatch to hook somebody, pull them closer, and shoot them in the face with a shotgun. You know, but in my mind, that was a 10-step process of me flanking an enemy, hiding, waiting my perfect chance, you know, picking out a target. And, you know, it's not about shooting somebody.
Your verbiage
is violence.
Completely determined by the person that made the game. Like, to you, you're ABF. True. You're always be flanking. And then you hooking somebody and putting a shotgun down their throat, you pressed X, dude. I mean that's simplifying it.
Right. But there's a big disconnect there. You know, but at the same time, I totally understand that, you know, desensitization is a real thing. And, you know, letting kids get comfortable with guns and violence and stuff isn't always the best alternative, but... You know, in a healthy environment, it can be okay.
Oh, sorry, Brent.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, yeah, for sure not. But like, I just see massive, I just see that like kind of hypocritical because I mean, I've watched some shows on television that are more violent than, you know, like rated R movies that I've seen, like things that come on at like 8 o'clock at night, you know, when kids are still up, like grotesque violence. And
standards are all over the place.
Yeah, it's just strange to me, like, real, like, depictions of real people being, like, brutally, like, injured and killed, and yet, like, this is a video game, and there's, like, a massive disconnect in my mind, you know what I mean? And so, like, I don't know, I just see hypocritical, like, statements that are being made, like, oh, we don't want violence on the television, but it's, like, but it's already there, real depictions instead of like these kind of, you know, game characters like in Overwatch, like, you know, these don't really look like people. You have a giant gorilla or robots.
Well, history has
or
a
this
funny
or that.
Circular way or a cyclical way about it. It also depends on how you look at it, though, you know, because it begs the idea too that, like, okay, we allow video game violence into the Olympics and into television like that, you know, that could mature over the course of years. And then you look at it like this. When I was young, everybody had snapback hats, and then Fred Durst started wearing that fitted cap, and did it all for the nookie, and then everybody started wearing fitted caps, and here we are with people with little like hole and strip marks imprinted back in their foreheads again because snapback caps are in again. All I'm saying is that, like, if sword fighting becomes an Olympic sport in late stage the way that it is now, who knows is if we start. You know, with these violence game in the Olympics, cultures start to develop, kids learn certain things, and then we're back in the Coliseum. It's 75 to 100 years.
My name is
just
Maximus Decimus
Meridius. Just talking
about
desensitization. I don't want anybody to think that, like, this is an unbiased show. I mean, I get it about violence on TV. So.
Yeah, totally. For sure.
Devil's advocate there. Got a little weird with it, like Pacino. Like, wah! All right. the last little blurb I had. That's a great Pacino, dude. Come on.
Spot
bad.
On.
It wasn't bad.
Wah! What, I got to fake a Cuban accent around here? Anyway, regional qualifiers for the League of Legends are going down September 9th and September 10th. If you don't know this already, you probably missed the mini games in the league play before that. But if you want to watch it or buy tickets, check out their website, lol.com, I'm pretty sure.
LOL.
It seriously is LOL.
It is.
All right. Okay, so that's all the potatoes. Are we ready to get into the meat?
Let's go, baby. Give me that stew.
All right. We'll start with a little bit of this game just came out a couple days ago for the PlayStation 4 and for PC, right?
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
Yes.
Am I right? Okay. Absolver, which I cannot. We had a great Discord forum going, and I mentioned how when you say I said Absolver so many times, it sounds like one of those 90s like Sally Struthers infomercial exercise things.
Yes.
like the Absolver. Yeah. And now every time I talk about it, I can't not say the Absolver.
Yeah.
It's like, buy our workout VHS tapes and get a free Absolver included in every order.
Yeah.
Billy Mays here with too soon, buddy.
It is always too soon.
Dude, this talking without thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it gets you into trouble sometimes.
Who's the other guy? Yeah. Sully? I'll let him pitch me.
Well, Absolver. You learn martial arts without the damaging effects of chlorine. And this just came out a few days ago. And it looks pretty great. It's $30. Actually $28.99, but that was a fresh price for that new.
Mm-hmm. A little discount.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who wants to talk about the Absolver first?
I do.
Think I just cut you off from doing so.
No. Man, I saw this game maybe, I don't know, I think it was maybe E3 a few months ago. I kind of saw some rumbles about it. You know, people said it was pretty neat. They wanted to check out more of it. And, you know, from the outside looking in, it looked like hand-to-hand combat, like Dark Souls, right? You know, mm-hmm. interconnected world. You know, kind of bespoke small fights between you and another character. But seeing the game come out and seeing, you know, more and more coverage come out about it, looks like a super deep, create-your-own-combo, four-stance-based martial arts thing. I mean, I saw some guy joined another character's school and was training moves from him. I don't know where this game goes, but it seems like it's neat all the way around.
Yeah, so that's one aspect that I didn't quite understand when I was first hearing, you know, stuff about this. But the way you learn new moves is by fighting somebody else and then seeing them use them, and then you can eventually unlock them and then put them into your combos, into your skill tree or whatnot. I thought that was a really cool aspect to be able to learn new moves. I just thought, you know, throw 50 punches and you can unlock this, you know, something like that, but not at all.
Right, yeah.
Totally
it's
different
not like
take.
Complete a quest and learn how to uppercut. It's get uppercut 50 times in the face and finally your character will learn how to counter it or, you know, learn how to do the move himself.
Yeah.
Somebody get Conor McGregor on there.
So,
oh, dude, that's two in a row. Oh!
So, but Eagle, you actually watched somebody go into somebody else's school?
No. Well, I saw some guys kind of training, sparring against each other, and it looked like the master of the school and like some type of apprentice, which I believe happens once you beat the story of the game.
Mm-hmm.
You gain access to the tower or something along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
And you can join a school that, you know, another player has hosted and, you know, learn certain moves for certain stances, you know, that the other players have already done.
Right. So you can just.
What about edgy ones?
Oh, super edgy ones.
It's the fifth stance that no one has known.
So like
Shaolin shadow boxing and the edgy sans sword style.
Like after you beat the game and you have like all these moves unlocked, you can then invite noobs into your school and just whoop their asses. Is that what that's what I'm imagining this will become.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm imagining like a Kill Bill style thing. Like I'm just standing against a wooden board, just trying the 1-inch punch over and over and over again.
Right.
Oh, I was thinking of some kind of Pebble from the Hand skill minigame.
But, like, this is all under the veil of, like, a 13-year-old screaming as Mike, how you suck. And he's the master of the school.
What this is all under the veil of is Jade Empire. Shout out to anybody who knows what the F that is out there.
Jeez.
This game looks rad because I've played something very much like it. I'm looking forward to it. Can't get it right now with Destiny 2 coming out, dude. Yeah, can't do it. I'm going to wait till it gets a little cheaper. But that's not throwing shade.
No.
It's also, you know, it's not. I just got too much on the old plate right now, and I got, you know, other things that cash, other toys that cash could afford me at the moment. That's but it fair. Looks a lot of fun. Looks like a real couch chiller.
Yeah. I don't know, man. It looks super intense to me.
That's I'm
see,
from
and,
that
and
camp
that's the
too,
thing.
Brent.
See, and Eagle got mad at me when we were talking before the show because he's like, well, what? Because, like I said, I'm looking at it, and, like, I think it looks easy. I think it looks a little too easy, but I think that I've played yeah. games like it before. Yeah, hot take. I just know I'm going
to
tear through it.
Drive over
I know I'm
to Jake's
like
house
it.
With a copy of it and be like, beat
it,
the
dude.
First player.
Do it, dude.
First
show
go.
Me how easy.
First try, dude. First try. Or you got to break your disc.
I mean, pre-Dark Souls Jacob. Maybe that'd be funny,
yeah.
But now I'm daring you to do it, bro.
You got the skills now.
Yeah. Let's go, dude. I got this bag full of tricks. But regardless, it looks great.
Yeah.
The reason why I keep asking over and over again if it's available for PC is because I can't believe the videos that I'm seeing, even though that they're a little bit toned down as far as, you know, real simulation graphic quality. All the videos I've seen are just amazing movement and frame rate, and everything just looks awesome.
It
just
does.
Titties.
I will say I've read a handful of reports of it kind of chug-a-lugging a little bit on PS4, but it is, I believe, the developer Slow Clap's first game, you know, as a studio. So give them a little time to patch things up. Hopefully they can figure that out. But yeah, I'll side with you, man. The game is super beautiful. I like the kind of minimalistic look it has on things. It looks real nice. And, yeah, the character movement and interactions, you know, while fighting is really top-notch. Yeah.
And it doesn't have to look super awesome as long as it's evident that effort went in somewhere else.
Totally.
And this game certainly looks like that, you know, that's what happened here.
I think it was we built a fighting system. And then let's put some pretty graphics around it. Like, if you ask me, it's like...
Hoo-ah.
Hoo-ah.
Hoo-ah. Oh, yes, Absolver. You will be mine. I'm going to get my six-pack, boys.
There you
go. So what have we been playing this week?
Well, I checked out Path of Exile. Are you guys familiar?
A little.
Slightly.
A little bit. I love that photo that you sent out, though.
Oh, jeez.
Did that ever make it to the Instagram?
I don't think so, but I should put it up there.
Yeah, toss her up there.
Yeah, I know this is an audio podcast, but what Jacob is talking about is I sent a video of the skill tree in Path of Exile. Because to start it off, it's a free game that I saw was available on Xbox. I believe it's already out on PC. But so I picked it up, checked it out, and yeah, one of the first things I did was open the skill tree, kind of see, you know, what things were working, and hands down... The biggest and most extensive skill tree I've ever seen in my life.
Dude.
I mean, I'm pretty sure we could consider it a skill forest, not a skill tree. Seriously.
You're missing the forest for the skills, bud.
Yeah, dude. The skill Amazon.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's hundreds and hundreds of options.
Mm-hmm.
It's nuts.
Yeah. I saw that video and I was like, sign me up. And then I watched video of the gameplay.
And you're like, sign me out.
Well, I again, talking without thinking, I stopped like mid-sentence rethinking my tone. I didn't mean to sound messed up like that, because there's nothing wrong with the gameplay.
No, so to explain it a little bit, are you guys familiar with Diablo or like Diablo 3 specifically?
Yes.
Okay, so Path of Exile plays and looks just like a Diablo game. You know, there's no bones about it. It is a, you know, like a successor to those. You know, not made by Blizzard,
mm-hmm.
You know, but that's what they're going for. Isometric, you know, kind of...
There's the word we're looking for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, lots of different abilities to fight with and weapons. And it's loot-based. So, you know, you're constantly looking for a better helmet or better boots or weapons, mm-hmm. all that stuff. But so, I played a couple hours of it, and it's pretty good. It's a good free-to-play game. You know, it seems like you can get through the whole story and do all that stuff without spending much money. So, you know, if you're looking for a new Diablo or, you know, something like that, or just kind of a passive game to hack your way through, I would definitely check it out.
Hey, Jacob, this would be a good thing to tell Chris about, because remember he said he wanted a video game to play with his girlfriend, and they liked playing Diablo.
Ooh, I don't know if it's split screen.
It is funny how many...
I mean, I think regardless, they'll still enjoy it.
Yes.
Just because they really like Diablo.
It is amazing how many... It's what I hear about, like, my friends that like Diablo 3, they're all couples.
Yeah.
Like my girlfriend and I love Diablo 3, my girlfriend and I love Diablo 3.
I mean...
And it's funny what kind of emerges as like a couples game.
Well, it's weird. You know, you wouldn't think Diablo would be a good game for you and your girlfriend to, you know, chill out to, but
not at all.
Like,
or boyfriend.
Yeah, anybody, and a friend. It just seems like a weird like story game. Yeah.
It's 2017. The term is boo thang.
Yeah, you and your bae.
Yeah,
is that it? You just remove the
boo thang. Yeah.
So,
well, Bay is Rocket League.
Oh, word.
So, yeah, I'm talking about something different.
Heard but, that.
So, correct me if I'm remembering wrong, but didn't Diablo 3 release on kind of shaky legs with the community?
I think so, and I think, you know, through patching and updating and their expansions, it got to a really solid place, you know, where it is now.
But, like, is this kind of, like, an answer to that? Like, Is this like what the Diablo community wanted? Do you know? Like, is this getting praised like really well? Like, people are like Diablo players really enjoying this?
Is it what they do?
The few comments I've seen about that have been like, if you want the best, go play Diablo. If you want something free, you know, play this. Because to my knowledge, Diablo 3 Reaper of Souls Edition is still $60 digitally. Like, it's been out for years and it's still, you know, it's full $60 price. So, you know, this is a great way for someone who doesn't want to drop that $60 to see if they want to play a game like that.
It's like Paladins to Overwatch.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
That's
but if
a fair
you
comparison.
Like that stuff, if you like Marvel Ultimate Alliance, if you like,
Yeah.
That's all I got, boys, as far as comparisons. You know,
well, you bringing that up makes a great point, though, because Path of Exile is like an MMO. Like, when you go into a world, there's a bunch of other characters around you and stuff. And Diablo's not like that. That's like you can play with friends and stuff, but it's not a MMO in which there's a whole bunch of online characters around you. So
right.
There's a little bit of difference if you do like that stuff or don't like that stuff. It is like full-on MMO.
Right.
If you like that stuff, get that stuff because it's free to play.
Get that stuff.
Yeah.
Right now.
Get that
stuff, bud. What about you, Brent?
You guys already know what it is. I've been playing PUBG.
Oh,
I've got
spoiler alert.
I've been out there on the corner holding up my sign, join the PC Master Race. And I've got two guys have walked up to me and bought PCs.
I wouldn't call walking up, though. I'd call it lured. I'd call
stalking,
it lured
maybe?
And then kept against their will in
a
locked van.
So, yeah, just PUBG. I mean, you already know what it is. It's taken everything over. Again, my life as well and the lives of two of my other buddies. So, you know, having fun playing with them. Little news on PUBG. They just released a screenshot, I guess last week, of a new map they're working on. But I was excited about it because they said that it was going to be like a 4x4 square, like four square meters or kilometers, excuse me. But and that'll be awesome because it's like everyone's going to be right on top of one another. But I think they just recently, in the past couple of days, said they're actually going to make it 8x8.
Yep. It's going to be a full-size map.
Should be called Anxiety City.
Oh, absolutely.
That's what it should be titled. That should be
with
the name of it.
All those big buildings and all those windows. Oh, jeez.
Oh, my goodness, dude. You're going to be hate sleeping so many nights. Just piss dreaming.
But I will say, so I've been playing a lot of PUBG, but in countdown as of right now, in 11 days, we have Metroid Samus Returns coming out for the new 3D SXL.
Oh, yeah.
Which I am stupid excited about. This game
sick.
Looks
your Metroid
so
man?
Fun. Oh, absolutely. I've been, you know, playing it my whole life. And I really just want my 3DS to get some more love, and Monster Hunter is just kills my hands, man. Honestly, like, it's such a cop out, but
Brett, like, I still don't know, got my all hands the paint are too on big. Or...
well, fill me in on this Samus Return stuff, because I thought I saw them, you know, talk about this a little bit at E3, I think, and they also announced a new Samus game they're working on, but this is the remake of the second one, right?
I had this on Game Boy.
Like, would it be considered just like a remake? Because, like, they're implementing, obviously, all new graphics and everything with it. But they also have a system, I'm assuming that's going to be with, like, the C-stick, that you can aim your hand cannon in, like, kind of a 360 motion. It's not just up or right. You know, you can, you know, really pinpoint where your hand cannon is. And also, one of the biggest things I'm excited about, they're implementing, like, a parry and then riposte. So you can kind of, like, if, like, a Metroid's coming at you, you can swing at it and parry it away and then, you know, get, I guess, critical damage from there.
Yeah, it seemed neat.
They're also throwing in, a stamina bar, an extra stamina bar for some extra abilities. You get thrown in that they're called Aeon abilities.
Yeah. So that's why, like, I'm struggling to, like, call it, like, a remake, because it feels like a totally new game.
Well, are you familiar with Silicon Knights doing the Twin Snakes for GameCube?
No.
Like, there's a company called Silicon Knights. They made a couple big games. The only ones I can think of off the top of my head right now on the spot are that remake of Metal Gear Solid for the GameCube called the Twin Snakes, where they retooled it and used all the, I don't know if it was the exact, you know, movement engines and, you know, everything that Metal Gear Solid 2, Sons of Liberty used, but used that system with the outdated Metal Gear Solid game. They also did another game called Eternal Darkness, which was pretty bad. But they built it back up from the ground. They rebuilt it, adding, you know, using a new way to move around and look, which was in the sequel, you know, but applied all that to the older game.
Cool.
Yeah, because it seems like, if I'm not mistaken, this Metroid Samus Returns, it's kind of like the same map, same enemies, just with some tweaks on how you get through it and how you encounter them, is at least how I took it.
And delicious color.
Yeah, it looks really pretty. Yeah, and I'll say, like, from the footage I've seen, it definitely seems like the whole game kind of moves a bit faster.
Yeah. That's cool. And that comes out, what, in a couple weeks?
Yeah, September 15th, so in 11 days from today when we're recording.
Perfect for DS.
I can't wait.
If anybody from Nintendo is listening, I just want to throw this out there and say, if you put this out on Switch, we will buy it as well. Crazy people.
If you give me a Switch, I'll buy it too.
Sponsored. That's one thing, though. So I'm assuming that Metroid Prime 4, what they teased at E3, is going to be coming out on the Switch. And so that's getting me really excited. You know, I think they're putting this in our hands in the 3DS, and then, you know, they're going to drop 4 in our hands with the Switch. So,
yeah, I mean, they're
coming back.
They're kind of doing the same thing with Pokemon Ultra Sun and Moon. You know, that's coming to the 3DS and stuff, but not to the Switch. You know, I guess they're, you know, still trying to treat that audience all right while they're, you know, developing the new ones.
Yeah, but then Pokken's coming out for the Switch, and I think that looks rad. I'm not an arena fighter guy, but I don't know. That just looks like a game I would really enjoy playing on the Switch. I like Pokemon too, so
yeah.
I don't know.
It looks neat.
Mm-hmm. You gonna get it, you think?
Man, I don't think so. I think,
Prime.
Dang it.
Well, you know, that and, you know, my girlfriend and I have been playing ARMS. We got that on the Switch last week, and, you know, that has been a ton of fun.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, pretty much a 1v1 or 2v2 fighter, you know, kind of in the same vein. So I think that's going to scratch that itch for us for now.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Sounds exciting. Can't wait to see
Samus
when it comes out. Yeah,
coming back.
Samich. Oh wait, I'm hungry. Samus. Pastrami. Speaking of that, I guess it's kind of my turn. Like, I almost let that fly by, boys. I guess it's my turn for this week. I've been a little bit more on pastrami, but I'm in that point where it's just kind of like, it's interesting and the game's trying really hard, but I'm still like in the middle point where it's like a lot of the same thing. But and,
if you're just joining us, pastrami's code for Persona.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. As is the theme of the show, I speak pretty much as soon as I have the thought in my head, and that.
So, whereabouts are you at in the game? You say kind of halfway-ish, or?
No. Well, I mean, I'm not sure. End of the day, how many? And I really want to stay true to not spoiling. I don't know.
Yeah,
end of the day,
for sure.
How many dungeons, quote unquote, there are end of the day for the. I would actually say. There's a bar that is the progression of how many people believe in the public, believe what you're doing, believe that you're real. And I have a suspicion that that's kind of like a – it's also your progress bar.
Okay.
So if that's the case, you know, and 35.7% of Tokyo thinks I'm real, I really think I'm 37.5% through the game. And Tokyo, you're going to remember the name. One take.
Shout
Jake.
Out to Tokyo.
But yeah, but I put that down for a minute just because, you know, I just can't take too much of, you know, one thing for too long. And I'm super hyped about Destiny. I bought a game called Beholder on my PC, though. And Steam is always having a sale. If you don't already know, check her out. Not sponsored. I'm sure there are many places you can buy games. But
would you be surprised if they changed the name of Steam to just sale? Or if they just did like clearance closing out? You know,
boys,
like,
are you ready for the summer sale, Steam? Oh my God!
Yes.
Go ahead, Dan.
Well, I was just going to ask about Beholder. You said you had purchased it, but I have never heard of this game.
Yeah, it's and I really hadn't either, except for in a couple of advertisements. But with me, I like it. You know, as we have established on the past shows, I kind of, you know, I'll give a $10 to $20 game a chance if it looks interesting enough. And this one is neat. It's really like, I know I like to play the Had a Baby game a lot, but this is Fallout Shelter and Papers, Please had just some bomb steaks and shrimps. And one thing led to another. They had a baby called Beholder. And it's really neat. It's kind of complicated right now, but I think that's the point of I think that also serves the narrative, is that you're not supposed to know exactly what you're doing until you get your bearings. But you basically, you live in an oppressive country, all right, that's in the midst of controlling its citizens. And you run an apartment building. You're the superintendent. But you are also controlled by the Ministry of Places to Live. I forget the official term that they used. The Ministry of Cribs puts you in charge of not only managing the building, but you also have to spy on everybody. Like, you have to be in complete control of your information that comes out of this building. So as people are moving in, and when you move in, there are tenants already established, because you start the game because the previous superintendent failed. I've been given two security cameras, and I have to decide where to put them in. And I'm waiting for this dude to leave his apartment so I can go in there with my master keys and
creepy,
and install my surveillance equipment. It is super creepy, but like in a fun way, not like in a way I know I shouldn't do way. And I'm just
shout out to Jacob's neighbors.
Oh, pinch
shades.
My nipple too hard. Ow, that hurt. Anyway, it's real creepy and has just enough personality. We'll see if it holds up to my tsunami of ADD that I constantly have swirling around in my head. And but $3 on Steam. Excuse me, sale.
$3 to really scratch your voyeur itch so you don't get in trouble in real life?
Well, it ain't really about that. What it is it challenges. Like, if the game's easy enough at first. You expel somebody who's making drugs, right? Or, excuse me, evict someone who's making drugs. You're not supposed to do that, right? But then as you get deeper in, I can only assume, you know, there's a terrorist movement. Who's the real bad guy? This tenant has two kids and a puppy. You know, like all kinds of stuff like that to really challenge, you know, pull
get
on
that
your
puppy
own.
Out of here.
Yeah, pluck your old heart harp there, bud.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's cool. Are you enjoying it so far, though?
But like I said, I don't know what I'm doing, so I haven't really got a lot of progress done, because the people, they go in and out, they take the bus into town, they come back. I also have to make money and make repairs and make sure my family's happy, too.
And it's in the layout of, like, Fallout Shelter,
it is,
right?
It is, man, yeah, yep. That is the best way to describe it, because I can't think of another game that looks like that right now.
No, no.
So like a single screen, you can see like all the different rooms with the little characters in there?
Yeah, Fallout Shelter, but not on that scale. Tiny Tower, you know, click and drag. There's a lot going on at once on the screen.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. Check her out. I also bought a two-pack of games that I'm not getting into just yet. I'm going to wait, but it was on Crazy Sale 2 on the PlayStation Network for the PAX West sale. Yeah. It's a two-pack of Surgeon Simulator and I Am Bread, and I can't wait.
Oh, gosh.
Like, two games that blew up on, like, streamers last year. Like, everyone, you could see them just, like, flicking off the cameras and trying to squeeze their hands and pick these things up, and then Bread flying around the kitchen on a skateboard.
I hate I Am Bread so much, but I respect it so much.
Yeah.
No, yeah, the movement controls in that are just the worst. It's so frustrating.
That's the point.
Sounds like you Jacob, need to make like a couch and chill, bud.
Yeah, I need a couch chiller.
Jacob, how much did you pay for your two-pack?
$3.
Nice.
That's the right price.
Yeah, go do it. I have Surgeon Simulator on my phone. I love it. I can't wait for Donna to play it. Because the PlayStation 4 has that... I haven't gotten into it yet, but the PlayStation 4 has that touch-sensitive pad on the sticks. So I'm hoping, I'm hoping that gets thrown into the equation. I think that's going to be a lot of fun.
Right.
That'd be ridiculous.
Yeah, the game is wacky, like, comma, to the max.
Yeah, both of them, and it's funny they come in a pack.
Like, it's a good two-pack.
Yeah, what was the title, like, the frustration pack, or...
You'll never get through this pack.
Take a chill pill pack.
Man. But go find yourself a couch, Holmes.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, I've been trying to keep the smile on my face, but I keep scratching. I can't stop thinking about Destiny 2. When is it, Brent? What's the countdown to now?
2 days. Wednesday.
I didn't think I would be this exciting, but I also know that Destiny is one of those games where my friends made the game for me too. So like, I'm in the middle of a big like hype amongst my mates, and really excited. True.
You guys are currently downloading it, right?
Oh, it's done. Fiber optic, done. Homie.
It's in there. Heard. It's ready to go.
I've swimwear.
I've been slacking. After we get done recording here, I'll go I'll go start the download.
It's okay. I hope they have enough copies left for you, bud. You should have reserved it. You know better.
Yeah.
You should have got out there, buddy.
Before we jump into it, what character are you guys picking? Titan,
Warlock.
I don't even know, dude.
Hunter.
I always want to be Hunter, but Warlock has it so much easier. So much easier. Like Warlock is easy mode, but the most fun that I had was Titan.
Yeah,
on Destiny 1. Most fun I ended up having was Titan.
That's the one character I never played around with in Destiny 1 was the Titan. Warlock and Hunter were my two characters.
I don't know if I'm going to play with the Titan after that cornball live action.
You don't want to save the puppies? Is that what you're saying?
I can't believe they got Captain America for the commercial. That's awesome.
Gosh.
How'd they pull that off? Cross universe. That's a little too shady even for my taste. The brand new live action trailer. There was a live action last year, right? That was the one with the last time around. That was the one with the Led Zeppelin song, right? And they're like on the moon.
Yeah.
Yes.
On the some sparrows classic rock jingle. And it's all like ah.
Yes.
Hammer of the gods.
I think that's an Activision thing, because Call of Duty always does a live-action trailer, too.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's their thing.
Well, if y'all haven't seen it, it's real saucy. I mean, I know you guys have seen it, but like, like a little too much sauce. But, I mean, it's it's there. Like, go take a look. I mean, like, it's hard not to be excited. It's just, you know, it's, I don't know, jumping the shark a little bit. I don't know if I'm really using that term right. I don't know. I'm sounding really snarky. I'm excited for Destiny 2. So,
buddy.
Yeah, that live action was something else. Something else.
Yeah, you know, I think it harps on the same, you know, ads that they were doing earlier this year. They're super cornball, you know, but
same concept entirely. Cade sitting on the soapbox.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, talking about like loot and like
for the puppies. Were the guardians celebrities?
It seems that way.
Because like right, I didn't recognize anybody, but then like, and I could be totally wrong, but like before the Titan yells like for the puppies and his little like mask comes up, like I was like, is that one of those Wilson boys? Like, which I get them mixed up. The one from Idiocracy. Looked like him.
But Luke Wilson?
I don't know if he would be on a Destiny 2.
I don't know, man. Maybe.
I'm so dumb. I cannot. I need to stop talking. Honestly, what would sum that trailer up for me is at the end, remember when they're all firing the shots in the different direction? Mm-hmm. I wanted a body to fall from the ceiling. I would have forgiven the whole thing. I would have forgiven the whole thing if a body fell from the ceiling at the end of that.
Let the bodies hit the floor.
Don't you do it. Audience out there, Eagle gets hyped up to really strange, aggressive music. And
he gotta likes do to it sometimes. It.
Oh, no!
Yeah. Yeah, I'm super hyped, guys. I'm so ready. I'm so ready to get in there.
Yeah, I mean, we're close. You guys are closer than me.
Eagle's already started a clan.
Yeah. Download the Destiny app. You can sign in right now. You can get ready. It's there. Clan's called Edgy Stances. Let's join up. Let's do this.
Shoot. Get it. Yeah, join us. Play with us. Don't be a D. I don't like people like that. I work enough at the soap carving, whatever. I don't want to come home and play with over aggro weirdos.
So
be nice.
But definitely join our clan so we can actually play these raids and everything. Raids,
dude. I can't stand it. I know you planned it.
There's like no matchmaking in Destiny, so it's gonna be really hard getting all this together.
Well, they do have guided games, so let it be your Sherpa.
Yeah,
and we got to get going too because the raid is coming out pretty soon.
Yeah, they said 1 week after launch. So, I have tried to stay like spoiler
in the dark
free. Yeah, like I haven't watched much of the coverage on the different planets and stuff. So, like, I don't know what the recommended light is going to be for the raid if they even have said it. But I don't care. I'm gonna be ready. I'm gonna be there.
Yeah. Yep. Pull yourself up by your Gallarhorns and your Lederhosen and be ready to ride.
My favorite.
I have played a little bit more this week. I accidentally flew over it on the notes. But I will say, just real quick, even though it's not going to sound as good. But Scoop Life is Strange complete because the next series is coming out, so you can find that for $6 at the Xbox Marketplace. That's where I found it. You can get all 5 episodes, and I jumped into a little bit of that this week too.
My girlfriend and I did the same. We played through the first 2 episodes. There's 5, I believe. I saw that game, the cover of that game for months and months and months, and just kind of, you ever just mentally just put a game in a category like, dismiss, I'm never going to play that? Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
That was that game for me, man. And just kind of on a whim, I saw Jacob bought it. And so I popped in and whoa, what an awesome game so far.
Yeah.
Is this a Telltale game?
It's by Square Enix. It's not by Telltale, but it's very
It feels more similar. Heavy Rain than Square Enix.
Yes. Heard.
Did Square Enix do that Lost Beyond Two Souls or whatever? What was that game with Willem Dafoe and all that?
Murdered Suspect?
No, that's Murdered Souls. No, the other one with the girl from Inception. And
I know what you're talking about.
It's called like Lost Beyond Two Souls. I know it's Beyond Two Souls as part of that name.
Yes.
If it is not.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. So, it kind of works like that. Like, not quite like Telltale, just a little bit different flavor.
It is like decision based though. Like you can change the course of your game by like answering yes or no at a specific location.
And very severely.
Very.
Very severely. That's why this game is so fun, cuz you're sitting there like there's just got to be a point where you stop rewinding time and you just move on. he's just realized that this is the world you live in now.
I think that's one of the main things that separates it from like other story-based games like Telltale and stuff like that, because you said the rewinding time, and that's kind of the whole hook to the game, you know, the whole gimmick, I guess you'd say, is, you know, you have the ability to kind of roll back time to a previous decision. So basically what you can do is make a decision, kind of see how it's going to go, and then you can roll back time and make the other decision, see how it's going to go, and then kind of make your choice there. So you kind of feel like you're in the know a little bit more than those Telltale or other, you know, decision-based games.
Right. So can you only go like one checkpoint back at a time, though? Only go one decision back at a time?
At least in the early game, you know, don't want to spoil anything, and I haven't seen much different, but yeah, it seems like really light. You know, once you move past a point, you can't, like, go way back.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're really nice to you and, you know, kind of letting you restart a scene or, you know, start it over and make the other decision and just kind of see what happens.
Yeah.
Cool.
That song at the beginning is killing me, though. That just went. Do you remember that part at the very beginning where it's like, American girl, kill me? whatever. I'm a little bit into it myself. I did not complete the first chapter yet. But it's pretty cool. It moves a little slow, but I do like just the stark differences everything you do can make.
Yeah, and I tweeted it at Don't Nod, the guys that developed this earlier this week. I was like, you know, the writing in this game and the little flavor text you get off of the things that you can pick up around the world, you know, make you feel so connected to these characters, make these characters feel so real. I think it's like a true masterclass in, you know, making a player feel connected to the character that they're controlling.
Yeah.
It's really neat. They have some really cool tricks that they do with it, too.
Yeah. And if you're into that writing type stuff, I did just see a tweet from Deck 13, the folks that put out The Surge. They're looking for game developers with game narrative concentration, I suppose. I don't know.
Heard.
Yeah.
Would you want to play a Surge too?
Hell yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Comrade. I'd be feeling it. But yeah, played a little bit with my girlfriend. A lot of fun. None of one of those Boothang games.
Yeah. Mm. I think, you know, that game is perfect for playing with friends or on stream, you know, with the big decisions and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, having input. You know, with all that being said, it does tackle some really heavy, you know, subjects that, you know, young high school students and college students deal with. So it's not a funny game, but... It is fun to play, I guess you'd say. It's kind of weird, I guess.
Yeah. Witcher Boothang. Funny Boothang. Okay, all right. Speaking of Boothangs, here we go. We're going to roll into Overachievers because we found ourselves talking so much about Boothang games. We decided to go ahead and do Overachievers on Diablo 3. If you don't already know, Overachievers is a segment that Eagle prepares every week where he takes a game that is relevant to what we're talking about and sometimes is just not. We look at their trophies and percentages, and we see how all you losers just walked away from... I'm just kidding. We see these interesting percentages about how people played this game.
Yeah. So, yeah, on Overachievers this week, we're doing Diablo 3, specifically the Reaper of Souls edition that's available on Xbox One. I do believe that there are other versions. I think this is the one that has like all the DLC.
Complete.
I think everything but the Necromancer, which was added after Reaper of Souls was released. So, I don't know. But yeah, so kind of on that same tip of a game I played with my girlfriend, strangely enough, Diablo 3, like Jacob was saying, yeah, it seems like a good couples game. I don't know what it is about it.
There's couch chillers and Boothangs now.
Yeah, you know it. Diablo 3 and chill.
New genre. Yeah.
Diablo 3 and chill.
But so yeah, on Overachievers, we like to pull some of the most common and some of the rarest achievements. So Kicking that off in Diablo 3, the most common achievement is a mystical meeting, which is to acquire the mystic. Now, that's been unlocked by 79.89% of players, and is kind of one of the first things you do in the story mode.
But not necessarily, like, the first, like, mission to complete. It's just one of the first... Is it, like, one of the first people you talk to, or...?
Yeah, I'm a little hazy, but... No, I think it's, like, before you reach your first town, you bring the mystic in. Or it might be the first mission from the town. I'm not 100% sure.
Gotcha. Then I'm one of the 20.11% that...
that made it about 5 minutes?
I did not get very far in Diablo 3. It's just not my thing, man.
Yeah. It's definitely fun. I enjoyed the living daylights out of it, personally. But so, yeah, moving on, the just one step down from the mystical meeting was the Mad King's End, which is the achievement you unlock for killing the Skeleton King, which, if I'm not mistaken, is like the first kind of named boss that you come across.
All right, well, we didn't have a terrible dip.
Oh, you heard that? Damn.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Shh, not too loud.
I whispered too aggressively. I'm sorry. That really was a mistake. Volnir, you've returned.
But 72.77% of players have killed the Skeleton King, so good on you guys for that.
Is that what the Skeleton King topper is in Rocket League?
I think so.
Nice.
I could be wrong. There's probably plenty of Skeleton Kings. But so, moving on, we've got the achievement for Greed Over Need, which, if you've played Diablo 3 at all, you'll know that treasure goblins will haunt your dreams and haunt your nightmares at the same time.
Dirty old treasure goblins.
Yeah, they kind of... They're, you know, Diablo's one of those games in which you have lots and lots of enemies on screen that you're just kind of carving through most of the time, using your abilities and powers. And treasure goblins are little enemies that'll show up, and most of the time you'll kind of hear them or see them kind of dart across the screen, and you've got to chase them down. And a lot of times they'll lead you into like a real gnarly room of enemies or traps and stuff like that.
Come to dinner.
Yeah, very similar to what are those little
crystal lizards?
Yes, crystal lizards.
Yeah.
You know, they'll kind of, you'll be chasing one and realize that you've run yourself into a group of enemies. Like, oh, no. Yeah.
I'm going to go play Souls as soon as we're done with this, I swear. All the Souls talk.
But so for the achievements Greed Over Need, you need to kill 100 treasure goblins.
Nice.
Ooh.
Which is a bunch. So
seems pretty hard, too.
Yeah, it's not easy. I've letting a few of those slip through my fingers, which is always such a bad feeling.
Yeah.
But yeah, 13.86% of players have finished that. So
it is tough.
Yeah, they're not hard, or they're not easy, I should say.
Do not seek the treasure goblins.
Do not want sweet legendary gear.
It's an ambush.
All right, so looking at some of the completion achievements, there's Don't Fear the Reaper, and we're not talking Blue Oyster Cult.
That's a good
we're talking completing all quests in Act 5, which is, in a sense, you know, the end of the story. So that's been completed by 35.35% of players. So pretty low number, actually, have actually completed the game.
Yeah.
But it is a very long game. I will say that much. There's tons of content.
Is that what you think it is? Just too long of a track?
I do think it's really long, and... Diablo's famous for its difficulty settings. There's like 20 difficulty levels. You're trying to figure out what's right for you, because you get more XP and more gold the harder the difficulty, but, you know, obviously it gets harder. You know, so, you know, I think by the end of the game, me and Corey were at like Torment level 2 or, you know, something crazy like that, like 15 levels in there, and it was just getting so hard. So, I could see people dropping off with that, you know, but you could drop it down to easy and, you know, walk through the levels, you know, without getting damaged at all. So,
right.
You could go beat that game tonight if you wanted to.
Heard.
But, so level 70 in the game is kind of like the max level. But after you reach level 70, every experience point you get, I believe, is called like a paragon point that you can put into certain attributes. But level 70 is the tippy top, so once you reach that, you get the achievement Above and Beyond. That's been unlocked by 37.40% of gamers, so pretty low number have gotten to max rank, less than half.
I mean, I don't know. That seems kind of high to me to like max your character out.
Is that the original max rank from the game, or is that after all the expansions?
I think it's always been 70, and then it just goes to Paragon after that. Like,
okay,
I've seen people in Paragon level like 200. Yeah, like you can keep going for as long as you want, and just like keep adding to your strength, you know, or
that's
something
pretty
like
cool.
That. Yeah, it's neat. But there's also a hardcore mode, which might appeal to masochists like you, Dark Souls boys.
It keeps bringing it up.
How red is your neck from scratching it all day?
Bleeding.
But this hardcore mode
bugs.
It's super difficult, as well as adding permadeath. So if you die, you lose your character. Gone.
Apologize.
Dang.
Man. Yeah. So reaching level 70 in hardcore mode is no easy feat. And that's been accomplished by 3.26% of players.
Doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. That's the rarest achievement in the game, too, boys.
Wow.
Yeah.
The 3% is rarest?
Yep. There's a couple there's a couple ones in the Necromancer DLC that are a little bit more rare, but in the base game, yeah.
Hardcore
for sure. Well, the Reaper of Souls. I'm not sure if that was in before that expansion. I can't speak to that.
Heard.
Yeah. So, there you got it, boys.
Nice.
And I did wanted to pull one more achievement, which was the Dream Team achievement, because I thought this was pretty neat.
This the was baddest of them all.
Yeah, dude. Reaching level 70 with 6 different classes. So
they went through Infinity knives.
You know it. But yeah, so running through it with the monk, the crusader, all of them. That was only completed by 5.29% of players, so pretty rare one there as well, running through it with all the classes.
Mm-hmm.
Bob's your uncle.
Man. But yeah, people love that game. That's hundreds of hours of time to do that.
And we love overachievers. Thanks a lot for putting that together.
Hey,
yeah, thanks a lot.
And if you've got suggestions, be sure and send them in on our Twitter or Instagram or wherever you can find us.
Yeah, speaking of wherever you can find us, we're here at the end, so we're going to put a little information here for you. If you ever want to contact us, you can get a hold of us at edgystances@gmail.com. Twitter is edgystances. Instagram is edgystances. I'm hitting a blank. What am I forgetting?
YouTube? Mixer?
YouTube, the website. Mixer. Yeah.
It's all edgy stances.
Twitch. All of it.
All of it.
Do what you do. Go to Google, type in edgy stances, click on the thing that you like.
Yeah. And if what you do happens to be rating and reviewing podcasts, we'd really appreciate it. If you could tell a friend, that'd be tight. And, you know, I don't know. If we get some good feedback, we know, you know, we know how we're doing with people, and maybe we can get on some lists, get to some more people. If you feel like supporting us with a little bit of some star love.
Yeah, we don't need money, just reviews. Or you can give us money.
Yeah, we'll take it still.
All right, boys, chill out. Get on that couch.
Couch chiller.
Guys, contact us. If you don't, it's whatever. Still, thank you. You're still pretty awesome. Thank you for listening.
Yeah,
boys. And if you don't do anything, at least just remember to stay Amber.
All right, I'm going to go download Destiny 2. Goodbye.
I hope you have the best day you've ever had.
Boner.